بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed a huge importance on the word. Allah placed a huge importance on our word. What we say, what we speak, what we promise, what covenants we do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu awfu bil uqood. Allah said, O you who believe, be faithful to your uqood. Uqood is the plural of aqt. The reason I'm saying this and beginning with this is because that is the name for marriage, aqt. So marriage is a covenant. Marriage is not fun and games. Marriage is a covenant. Marriage is a promise that you make. When they make the promise, when a man says that I have accepted this woman as my bride, as my wife, and when the woman says I have accepted that this man as my husband, they are not talking about marriage, they are getting married. So they are making a promise to each other. What is this promise? The promise that the man makes to the woman is that he will give her the nafqa. What is the nafqa? The nafqa is spending money. Nafqa is not house running money. Please understand, there is a big mistaken impression in people. They think that if you give money to your wife to run the house, you know, to buy provisions, this, that and so on, you have given a nafqa. No, you have not given. Nafqa is her personal spending money. What she has complete and total control over, what she can spend on whatever she likes without asking your permission, without telling. Why is that required? Because she is now in your aqd. She is now dependent on you. And if she is dependent on you, especially for those women who do not have any other means or any other source of income, if she has her own business and so on and so forth, then she has some freedom. But if she does not have that, if she is a housewife, like most of our families, alhamdulillah, then she has no other means of income. So she has however need, she wants to buy some clothes, she wants to buy some jewelry, she wants to maybe, you know, eat some ice cream, Allah knows. Maybe she wants to give some gifts to her family, right? People have needs. Now, how is she supposed to fulfill that? That is what you are promising. When you make the aqd, it is fard on you. This is not it's not fun and games. You are answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this, for giving her nafqa. In addition to that, of course, supporting her, so feeding her, clothing her, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned both in Surah An-Nisa and in other places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, give equal to your status. Yeah, in Surah Talaq, equal to your status. So if you are a poor person, and this is a rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on you, Allah is not specifying a particular amount, Allah is saying equal to your status. So if you are poor, then you give according to that. But if you are wealthy, and if you are giving as if you are poor, then you are answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As simple as that. Then you are answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla. If you are wealthy, you must give as if you are wealthy, because Allah has given you wealth, alhamdulillah. So decide how you want to deal with this, because this is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you ask my advice, I say the best thing is, let your wife run your finances. Simple as that. Give her access to your bank account. Give her access to your credit card. Let her run it. That's what I do. Frees you from the responsibility. Because now, it's not a question of nafqa. You've given her everything. She runs it. Alhamdulillah. She runs a fantastic job. I've been married for 35 years now. Alhamdulillah. And if she spends everything, no problem. Go, you know, keep fast, go on a diet. I mean, what else? Right? Nobody does that. But I'm saying, Even if you don't want to do that, make sure that you are giving sufficient equal to your status. The people I'm looking at here, I don't think anything less than about 50,000 rupees a month is, you can't give less than that, because alhamdulillah, at least the ones I'm seeing here, 50,000 rupees a month is easy to your wife, inshallah. Aqd. What is her side of the promise? Because it's between two people. Her side of the promise is that she will take care of you, will take care of your property, will safeguard your property, that she will not meet anybody that you disapprove of. If there is somebody that you don't like and you say you should not meet, that is her responsibility, she cannot meet. That she will bring up your children. Obviously, you also have a responsibility, but primary responsibility is the mother's. That she will bring up your children, she will raise your children to become muttaqeen, to become obedient to you, to respect you. The finest example of that we have is the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Hajar alayhi salam, who raised Ismail alayhi salam as a single mother. Ibrahim alayhi salam was nowhere there. But when Ibrahim alayhi salam came, here was this little boy who was willing to be sacrificed in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just by his father saying it, and he has never seen his father before that. Yeah, he was a newborn baby when he was left there, he never saw the father. How did all this happen? Because of the way his mother brought him up. So that's an example for the women to say, how should you bring up your children? Well, here is an example for you, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. So that is her side of the bargain. Your side of the bargain is, you will take care of her, you give her nafkah. Her side of the bargain is that she takes care of you, and so on and so forth. She takes care also of your, whoever else is there in the family, of the parents and so on. Yesterday I told you, it's your job to provide her with cooked food, right? However, if she cooks for you, alhamdulillah, it's not her, she is not duty bound to look after your parents. But if she does that, alhamdulillah, this is expected, because this is our culture. We look after our elders. We look after people who are in our house. We don't force it, but we do that. I still remember many years ago, somebody asked me, I was speaking at a function, and there were a lot of ladies also there. So one lady asked me this question. She said, am I forced to look after my husband's parents? So I said, no, you are not forced to look after your husband's parents. But your husband is also not forced to have you, only you as a wife. So I said, both of these, please understand. Please understand. So there is a concomitant responsibility. It's not a one-sided game, right? There is a responsibility on both. So as I said, as far as the finances are concerned, yes. As I say, I am recommending, give the finances to the wife. But as for her side, what must she do? Treat that with respect. If the husband has given you access to the finances, it is completely stupid if you go and spend it on all kinds of useless things. No, give it respect, learn how to handle it properly, take care of it, because that is part of your responsibility as a bride, as a wife, to take care and protect your husband's property, which includes his wealth. Right? This is the kind of mutuality that is there in Islam. To close, because this is the last of this series, I want to share with you, if you do all of this, what happens? Now, before that, one more thing, which is, now, as I talked, I mentioned this aqd, the question of saying, I accept this person, ijab wa qubul in the nikah itself. Do you accept? Yes, I accept, and so on. A young woman came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and she came with some other of her friends, and she said, Ya Rasulullah, my father has married me to this person, and that person was her cousin, and I don't like him. So I want my marriage to be annulled. Right? So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, what is wrong with the man? Is there anything wrong with him? She said, no, nothing is wrong with him. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, is he weak in his religion? Is he not practicing Islam? She said, no, he is fine. He is practicing Islam, everything else. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, then why are you saying you don't want to be married to him? Why do you want the marriage to be annulled? And she's asking for khula. She's saying, I don't want this man. She says, I don't like him. That's it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tried to reason with her. He said, after all, your father, must have thought something good, and therefore he made this arrangement for you. She said, no, I don't want to be married to this man. That's it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, right, in that case, I will annul your marriage and you will be free. He didn't argue with her. He didn't say, no, you should do this and listen to your father. No. He said, if that is the case, if you are convinced you don't want to be married to this man, I will cancel your marriage. And he didn't even say, I'll call the husband, let him give you talaq. No, I will cancel your marriage. You are free. Then she says, no, I don't want the marriage to be cancelled. So now, this is women also. You are saying this, you are saying this, both the things. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, what do you mean? She said, no, I just wanted all my friends to know that my father cannot force me to marry anybody. That has been proved. Because you said you will cancel this wedding if I insist. So my father cannot force me to marry anybody. If I don't like, I can say no and that's it. I don't have to give any reason. I don't have to justify. I don't have to explain. I said, I will not marry. That is it. Period. Now that has been proved. She said, this man is a nice man. I don't mind. I'm quite happy to be married to him. Right? So she was trying to prove a point, legality of this. Alhamdulillah. That's how we have our religion. Thanks to the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alayhim Ajmain, who asked these questions and who did these things. Now, if we do all of this, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a man came and asked, Ya Rasulullah, how do I know if I'm a good man? He said, ask your wife. If your wife says you are a good man, you are a good man. If she says you are not a good man, you are not a good man. Yeah? In another case, he said, ask your neighbor. Because these are the people who know you the best. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, be good to your wives, I am the best to my wives. All of these hadiths we know, we are familiar with. Now, if you do all this, take the case of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What happens in good marriages? Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is in Hudaybiyah. And we know the whole incident and so on and so on. So, I am not going to talk about all that. Final point, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells the Sahaba, shave your heads, sacrifice your animals. The Sahaba do not move from their places. They do not disobey him. They don't refuse, but they also don't do. Now, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is the rahmah of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, the shafqat of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not repeat his instruction. He got up and went away and went into his tent. When he entered his tent, our mother, his wife, Umme Salama radiallahu anha, she was in the tent. She saw his face. His face was red. She looked and saw that he is angry. She said, Ya Rasulullah, what happened? He said, my people, my ummah are destroying themselves. She said, Ya Rasulullah, what happened? He said, I ordered them to shave their heads and sacrifice their animals and they have not done it. She says, Ya Rasulullah, they are going through a very difficult situation. My request to you, my suggestion to you is, you please go out and you shave your head and you sacrifice your animals, inshallah they will follow. What does he do? Who is this? This is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. He is the one receiving wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is she? She is his wife. Is she a wali? Is she a nabi? Is she a rasul? No. What does he do? Does he tell her, excuse me, who is getting wahi, you or me? You are advising me? What do you think? Who are you? Did he say all this? No. He did not say all this. When she gave this advice, he accepted this advice. And he went out and he had his head shaved and he called Sayyidina Ali and he said, bring the animals. And he slaughtered the animals and all the Sahaba followed suit. They did the same. This is the relationship of a husband and a wife. The wife gives you advice. Even though you may be more knowledgeable, even though you may be more experienced, even though you may have more degrees than she has and so on and so forth, you respect the advice that she gives. I'm not saying every advice you have to follow, but you listen, you respect it. Because wallahi, I can tell you very, very clearly, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in the hearts of His slaves who He likes things which are beneficial for you to listen to. You will not get wahi, Jibreel alayhi salam will not come, but Allah will make somebody say what Allah wants you to hear. If you reject it, it is your fault and you will suffer. So don't look at the person. See what they are saying. You say, Alhamdulillah. Don't say, oh, but you know, my wife, what is my wife? She doesn't, she maybe matric pass, maybe she didn't do anything. She, all she knows is the kitchen. No. Excuse me. She is a muttaqi woman. Her heart is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. If she is saying something, maybe this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in her heart to speak out. You reject what she is saying, you are the one who is going to suffer. Again, having said that, I said, I'm not saying do everything, no. But listen and consider and show respect. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in his house. Some Abyssinian people came, they accepted Islam and they said, Ya Rasulullah, we want to show you what we do. And they had their spears and so on, and they did their, they say dance, it is not a dance, it's a, these are all military moves. Of how they use the spears and so on. But it looks like a dance. It's very, you know, nice to see. Now, Aisha radiallahu anha wanted to see that. So, what does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? He stands in the doorway of his house. Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha is standing behind him and she is looking over his shoulder. How long does he stand? He stands as long as Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha wanted to see this thing happen. He doesn't say, okay, now enough, we have seen it. No. He stands there as long as she wants to see it. One day, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, I'm giving you incidents from the seerah to show what is a good marriage. One day, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had some argument. Sayyidah Aisha got very upset. As this was going on, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, her father, he came into the house. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so Sayyidah Aisha, when he came, he greeted Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ask your father. Whatever it was they were talking, right? Whatever it was they were talking and arguing about, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, let us ask your father to be the judge. So he said to Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, you tell him what the story is. Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa said, no, you tell him and speak the truth. Now, this is a husband and wife, right? This is not the Rasul of Allah and somebody. This is husband and wife. They love each other, they're close to each other. There is a level of informality that does not exist in any other relationship. So she is spontaneously she says, you tell him and speak the truth. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu could not take that. So he slapped her and he slapped her very hard. So the blood started coming out from her mouth. Because she is saying, speak the truth to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who will speak the truth if not Muhammad alayhi salam? So Abu Bakr, she is his daughter. So Abu Bakr Siddiq got so angry, he slammed her. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got very angry. He told Abu Bakr Siddiq, get out, leave my house. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu left. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his hand around Sayyida Aisha's shoulder and very affectionately and in a sort, like a joke, he said, see, this is what happens when you let somebody else come between a husband and a wife. So here is an argument, here is what happened and here is how we saved the situation. Final story of the seerah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha is making roti. She is making bread. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was his habit. He used to go and sit and he would help. So he is sitting there next to her on this stove. So she said, Ya Rasulullah, let's have a competition. And we'll see who makes roti faster. Who makes more roti. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay. So now she is making this bread. And they used to use barley flour and also you have to make it with your hands. So she is making this bread. She makes one roti, two roti, three roti, four roti. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one roti, he's on one roti, that one roti doesn't cook. So after she made so many, she said, Ya Rasul, I won. You haven't even made one roti. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Aisha, what can I do? Because the hand, something which touches the hand of Muhammad, the fire will not burn it. He said, something that touches the hand of Muhammad, the fire does not burn it. So my roti does not cook. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to give you all wives and husbands like this, who will be the noor of your lives, who will fill your lives with happiness for each other, who will be people who, when they raise their hands to make dua, their Rabb will listen to that dua on his arsh, and he will give them what they ask. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this and for more from his generosity and grace. Today is Jummah, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a time in Jummah comes when Allah accepts whatever his slave asks. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this the time, inshallah. And I ask you to make as much dua as you like, inshallah. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب العالمين.